after they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The open line's open. Get in touch. We want to hear from you. But Derek's going to give us the full-time scores before that.
Certainly. Scottish Premiership: Ross County 1, Hearts 1, Hibernian 2, Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 0, Kilmarnock 1, Partick Thistle 1, Dundee 2. In the Scottish Championship: Brechin City 0, Falkirk 1, Livingston 4, St Mirren 1, and Queen of the South 1, Greenock Morton 1. Scottish League 1: Airdrieonians 2, Queen's Park 1, Albion Rovers 2, Raith Rovers 2, Arbroath 0, Alloa 0, Ayr United 3, East Fife 0, and Forfar 5, Stranraer 1. Scottish League 2: Clyde 2, Cowdenbeath 0, Elgin 2, Montrose 2, Peterhead 1, Berwick Rangers 1, Stenhousemuir 1, Edinburgh City 0, and Stirling and Albion 3, and an Athletic 0. In the FA Cup 5th round: Sheffield Wednesday 0, Swansea 0, Brighton and Hove Albion 3, Coventry City 1, and West Bromwich Albion 1, Southampton 2.
If you want to get involved in the show, and please do, then now is your time. 0141 951 1025. We're looking for a number of things. Maybe you're just out of a game, and if that's the case, I'm probably looking at you, Partick Thistle fans. You are one goal up. It all fell apart late on. Dundee have beaten you by 2-1. Are you now worried? When you look at the league table, how worried are you? Where did it go wrong today? 0141 951 1025. Motherwell fans, Kilmarnock fans, is that the top six race done and dusted? Killy are in with two games in hand. Steelmen, can you pull it back? Kilmarnock, are you home and hosed? Celtic and Rangers fans, what about tomorrow's games? Give us your thoughts on that. And of course, Alex McLeish, yes or no, in your opinion, for the Scotland job? 0141 951 1025. Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod and Hugh Keevans are here.
Yeah, the Partick Thistle result is a horror story for Alan Archibald. You know, because they had the game in their hand, and then the 3 points slipped through their fingers. It's a horror story. Well done, Neil McCann and Simon Murray, for getting those two goals and for pulling Dundee out of that three-game losing streak that they were on. But for Partick Thistle, it's awful.
Hugh, it was bad enough getting a draw with 5 minutes to go or 4 minutes to go, and then losing a really late goal. It's sickening for the Thistle fans as well, because they'll be expecting them to hang on there. For, but you touched on it towards the end of the game, that Thistle's got a problem.
That's
with that.
That's the habit. They can't close games out.
But Kilmarnock's got the game of the day, to be fair. You know, to win at Motherwell, you know, it was a terrific result. Yeah. I mean, it just keeps going and going. Yeah. You know, the winning streak at Kilmarnock are on. A terrific performance by them so far.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. 19 games now since Stevie Clark took over, and that was an 11th win. The record has been unbelievable. Kilmarnock into the top six with two games in hand. I wonder if the race for the top six is over, Hugh Keevans.
Well, you can't see Kilmarnock going into reverse. You know, it's been an upward trajectory for Kilmarnock since Stevie Clark took over, and you just can't see anything stopping that now.
We're going to hear from all the various managers around the grounds. I'm sure some interesting comments to come in from Neil Lennon, you would imagine. Absolutely delighted with what he witnessed this afternoon. Derek McInnes, on the flip side, he won't be so impressed.
To be fair, Derek McInnes, before the game, when he had his interview, must have been yesterday, he said that Hibs were a fantastic team and he always loved playing against them because they had so much quality. But which, you'd always say, which Hibs team's going to turn up? If the real Hibs team turns up, then we're in for one almighty game. Well, it was absolutely 100%.
Neil Lennon
right.
Said the toughest team in the league that they play against is Aberdeen, because they can't get the better of them. They've given Celtic good games, they've given Rangers good games, but the Aberdeen team is, and I think that's a great result.
A terrific
today for
result
Hibs.
For Hibs today, yeah.
The beauty of this hour is we get immediate reaction. Remember the guy last week? He was so angry with Rangers' performance, he threw his cheeseburger away. Yes. You know, he was in the car park. That's the type of thing I'm looking for. Well, not necessarily throwing your fast food away, but if you've just come out of the game, you want to air your happiness, air your frustrations, this is the place to do it. But I had a feeling we would get some of these on the phone as well. Rob is in Bon Hill, wants to talk about the Scotland situation. Hi, Rob.
Hi, panel. How are you?
Not bad at all, Rob. What's on your mind?
The SFA, in one word, I think, is no vision.
That's two words.
Alan McLeish, No, two awards, yeah, I know. It's a Saturday, come on, come on, mate.
Good start, Rob.
Carry on, Rob.
They've shown no vision to take the Amateurs back as manager. He had the job before. He was reasonably successful. And what happened? As soon as a club came in looking for him, he ran. I just think we're taking a step backwards, taking him back in the job.
First of all, I don't understand this bit about he ran away. You know, he got a better job offer, in his estimation, in a high-profile league. He wanted to manage in the English Premier League. I'm quite certain that he got a substantial lift in wages. And I maintain that ordinary working men and women would do the same. So I don't hang him out to dry because he once walked away. That should not preclude you from getting the job back again at a later date. What I am concerned about is that very little thought, you spoke about vision, Rob, very little thought appears to have been given to this. It was all about Michael O'Neill, all about the dawn of a new era, and then when he said no, panic. And then the performance director was asked to phone Walter Smith, who had been out of management for 7 years. And then Walter Smith felt he was going to get caught up in a fiasco. So he said, no, I'm not interested. And he went away. And then Alec McLeish appeared. And I wish him well. As I say, I hope he wins every game. But no thought has been given to this whatsoever. Alec McLeish was the go-to guy in a hurry because another embarrassment was on the way.
Yeah. Hence the lack of vision, Hugh.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no vision.
I would quite happily have Walter Smith as a chief executive.
Well,
quite happily.
But that's not Walter Smith's role in life. You know, it's footballers are nothing for Walter. So you can't simply stick him into a role he's unaccustomed to. But as I say, I hope that Alec wins every match he plays. But there has been no vision. There has been no strategy, no look into the future. No, how will this work with the performance director? And how will he work with the chief executive? There appears to have been some kind of trade-off whereby if Rod Petrie and Alan McRae were given their way and Alec McLeish was appointed to the manager's role, then Petrie and McRae would allow the rest at Hampden to get the chief executive they wanted. That's not my idea of how you run Scottish football's governing body.
I think at some point, Rob, we'll obviously have to stop these types of questions, but only a day or so on. I think there's still a bit of mileage left in it. If it wasn't McLeish, who would you have preferred?
In all honesty,
yes.
How many games does Scotland play in a year?
Varies, yeah. I mean, listen, half a dozen, maybe upwards of that at times.
Why could we not have asked someone of the like of Brendan Rodgers to take it on part time?
No, Celtic don't pay Brendan Rodgers £2.5 million a year to have him take on a wee part time job somewhere. I'm not interested in how many games we play. One game would be too many. Because Celtic don't pay Brendan Rodgers that kind of money to go moonlighting elsewhere. It's not on, and it's not fair on Brendan Rodgers. It's not fair on anyone at all. So if you were talking, Rob, about a vision for the future, how can that vision involve Brendan Rodgers taking it as a wee part-time job? We need to address the future, the 20 years in exile away from the major tournaments. We don't say, well, I'll tell you, we'll phone up Brendan, see if he can... if he's doing nothing next Monday to Friday.
And Rob, I was just going to ask you though, Rob, do you think, is there not perhaps a reason, and I'm not saying this is always the justification for making decisions, but there must be a reason that it's not really the done thing, is it? I mean, what major footballing nations do that?
Well, at the end of the day, we went back to a manager who left before. We couldn't get any big name to come and take the job. I just don't see the reason why somebody like that wouldn't have thought, you know, 4 or 5 games a year.
But Robert, there's no just turning up on the Wednesday night to go to an international game. You've got to
scouting system in place.
So who puts the scouting system in place? It's a manager. The manager's got to go through all the systems, all his coaches, what they're all doing, going to watch games. It's a lot of work to do. It's not just turning up for the game.
He's away from the Sunday to the Thursday, basically. You know, with his own club, then you're asking him to go abroad. You know, it would never, ever happen.
Your question, Rob, was based on where is the SFA's vision? Vision is not a part-time manager who works for another club. Vision is getting in your man who devotes himself full-time to the Scotland job, who appoints a coaching staff that is suitable for the job, who can work in tandem with a chief executive. My complaint now is that the SFA have simply taken on Alec McLeish. Good luck to him. I hope he wins every game. But they've taken on Alec McLeish because they didn't have a plan in place when Michael O'Neill said no.
I know this is going to take off because people are still feeling very passionately about it, and that's great, keep them coming. But I do also really want to hear from fans who've been at games today, are looking forward to games tomorrow. Thistle fans, you must be gutted at what happened at Firhill. Get in touch, 0141 951 1025. While we're on the subject though, let's hear from Alex McLeish, because like I say, at some point, Hugh, the conversation will turn from, oh, it shouldn't have been him, it should have been X, Y or Z. Yeah. And it'll be, right, he's the Scotland manager, what's he going to do, who's he going to pick? Well, that was one of the questions asked yesterday in terms of what type of approach will he adopt in terms of picking the squad.
I've not made my mind up on anything yet. I will look at, you know, the blank sheet of paper, and we'll get all the names down and decide, you know, what we're going to do, and with the help of everybody, you know, and it's not for me to do it on my own. Of course, I'll be the guy at the end of it all, but at the same time, we'll use every tool that we have available in the SFA. We've got Malky Mackay doing a good job with the science guys and that, and these fellas will be used also to help us to leave no stone unturned.
Well, you've seen it's not all about him. Well, it is, Alec, really. You've been appointed the manager. The responsibility rests on your shoulders now. And you can take a phone call or two or go up and see Malky in his office. But at the end of the day,
there's only one man responsible, correct, if you don't get results. Yeah.
And Alan McRae yesterday made that man you, Alec.
We've had very split opinion on this one. The first caller comes through and isn't happy with Alex McLeish's appointment, but it looks like Jim and Stevenson is happy with the appointment. Not right, Jim?
Hi, Jim. Oh, hi, that's me.
That's you, Jim.
First time caller here.
It's a fine start, Jim. Just take a breath. We'll get through this together. We're here for you.
I just wanted to say, guys, what a week for football. Celtic get a win. We've got a new manager. The future's looking bright. But I've got a name for the chief exec, and I want to throw out there. What about Richard Goff?
Well, no.
Team again.
Absolutely not. I think people are either missing.
Why not you?
Because he's not an administrator.
The
he's
man
not,
is a god.
Well, Henrik Larsson was a god for the Celtic fans. You want to bring Henrik back as the chief executive? There are specific roles that require specific skill sets. Richard Goff was a fantastic football player. He had a dabble in club management, but he is not a chief executive. There are things that have to be done, sponsorship deals that have to be negotiated, television deals. It is the job of a professional administrator. It's not a job for a former footballer because he used to be an icon. It's simply not a job for them.
But you know the problem is we were spoiled, you know, in the 70s and the 80s when we had Ernie Walker. Now, there'd be a lot of people that didn't like Ernie Walker, but you know what he was? He got things done.
Yeah.
There weren't little committees saying, oh, we'll have a meeting and decide. Ernie told you what was going on. That's what we have to find. We can't have somebody that, oh, he's a nice man, we'll get him in. We've got to have somebody that's rough and tough, can handle all these people at the SFA and be able to make decisions, you know, as well. They're hard to find and know that, but that's what we need.
I don't think people understand the role. It's the chief executive role. It's nothing to do with the football business. That's the football department's job. This is, we're running out of our sponsorship deal with the SFA and the national team. We need a new sponsor. There are television deals to be negotiated. If you want the house painted, you don't send for a plumber.
Jim, let me ask you then, because by the way, I know some people can put footballing allegiances to one side. It's not all about that, but just let me clear up the situation. So you are delighted with Celtic's result the other night, and you think Richard Goff is a god. What team do you support?
I'm a Glasgow Celtic fan, but I'm a football lover.
Okay.
And I just feel that he's got experience and could be the man to maybe support bringing in a new chief exec as well as being the chief exec, I just think we've got to use the experience we've got in Scotland. And Richard Goff, the man is a god, and he should have played for Scotland a lot more than he did.
Well,
that's a different issue, isn't it?
I'm not going to quibble with that, but Jim simply doesn't understand the chief executive's role. As I say, if you want the house painted, you don't send for a plumber. Richard was a fine footballer who dabbled in management, who has no experience of negotiating contracts.
Gordon Smith did it.
Or Gordon Smith devoted himself to that kind of role.
I'm winding you up.
He thought of himself in that way, that he could do that. But we will get a professional chief executive. Leanne Dempster has said she's not interested in the role. We will get a professional chief executive who understands the business.
Here's a tweet. Unfortunately, we don't have him anymore on the line to try and put him on the spot. Riker is on Twitter, says Fraser Wishart for chief executive. There we are.
Well, he's been touted.
Sent in by Mrs. Wishart, maybe, I don't know.
A former colleague of mine used his column recently to say that he felt Fraser Wishart was the man for the job. I don't know what experience Fraser has of negotiating contracts and what have you, but he sees football from that side of the fence.
I think it's a good shout.
I like him on here on a Saturday, so I'm not throwing my weight behind it at all.
But people have to understand the role. Fraser has worked on both sides of the fence. He's been on the park, and he's worked for years off the park.
Which is a tick for him, which ticks one box anyway. He knows both sides of it.
So he would be spoken about in terms of a chief executive role. But former footballers who have had no experience whatsoever of that side of the business, I'm not what's required.
Yeah, okay, do you not normally go to big companies and bring their chief to run the FA? Yeah.
Well, that can be
very
done.
Very possibly, yeah.
I mean, the Adrian Bevington, who ran the EFA in England, wants the job up here. I assume he'll get an interview, or they'll get Malky Mackay to phone him. So at least he is part of that skill set.
We're going to hear from some of the main managers involved this afternoon. Neil Lennon, Derek McInnes, for instance. Were you at a game? Let us know what you thought of it. More calls coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep your calls coming. I'm wondering if there's any St Mirren fans out there who are starting to get a little bit nervous. You've heard people like Hugh Keevans and other pundits and fans saying league's in the bag, home and hosed, and Jack Ross is staying as well. Things are only on the up, and all of a sudden along come Livingston and spank you 4-1. So I'm wondering if any seeds of doubt have started to creep in tonight, or if you're still glass half full. 01419511025. Let's hear from the manager, Jack Ross.
I guess it goes without saying you didn't see that one coming, Jack.
We knew it was going to be a difficult game. I expected that. Coming to the team that's second in the league away from home is going to be a challenge, but not in terms of obviously our recent results. We've not lost league games since the beginning of December, so it's sore and it's disappointing. But I have no qualms over it. We lost the better team today, and that will happen through a league season. It's the response, it's always the most important thing, and the good thing for me is our response to losing the league game this season has always been to win the next one. So that's all we can do, and if we do that, then we remain in a good position.
Nice to get miles in the park as well for first
one. We obviously we tried various different things within the game, within our shape, within the personnel, to try and get ourselves back into it. None of them proved to be successful, and that will happen on occasions as well. And it's the challenges of management, it's the challenges of football, and you know, one thing I knew is we were never going to go through this championship season without losing another game because of the nature of this league. To stress, the run they've been on, the players have been on, is terrific.
I hope you don't mind me asking, Jack, you knocked back Barnsley during the week. Could you tell us why you'd made that decision?
No, well, I didn't knock them back. I think that's important to stress, and I've already made that quite clear, both in print today and in radio. It's as simple as a club wanted to speak to me, a big club, and I did so, and having taken all of that account and decided I didn't want to take that any further. Now, that's not to say I would have been offered the job. It's not to say I wouldn't have been offered the job. It's as simple as that. And I think that hopefully people appreciate I've been fairly honest and upfront in that respect. And so I want to be as respectful as I can to that club and my own club as well, because things were done all above board. It's just unfortunate sometimes that these things take place in the public eye, because then obviously then people believe it might impact upon a game, which I don't think it does, and I don't think it will be moving forward as well.
So there we are. St Mirren fans might not be feeling too great about themselves after a 4-1 defeat, Hugh Keevans, but still safe in the knowledge Jack Ross isn't going anywhere.
I think that was terrific stuff from Jack Ross on two counts. First, he said that Livy were the better team. He was magnanimous in defeat. It's a sore one to take, but they were never going to get through the rest of the season without losing a match. So that's terrific. A sober response to what happened today. And secondly, clearing the air on the Barnsley situation. He was never offered the job. He's honest enough to admit that. He was asked to go for talks. St Mirren allowed him to go for talks. He had the talk, but was clearly not at the top of Barnsley's list, because they appointed a man within 24 hours of Jack saying no. So I think they were looking at their options. So Jack Ross, well done. That was good stuff.
St Mirren fans, what did you make of today's result and the fact that Jack Ross is staying put? Willie is a Rangers fan, but you went along to that game today, Willie, didn't you? Your team's not in action, so you decided to go along to Livingston and watch the St Mirren game, yeah?
Yeah, I was along there watching the Livingston game today, because my boy was a ball boy at the game, so fairly duties and that. But
absolutely.
I've been to see Livingston a few times this season. I've got to admit, quite a strong unit they're getting. Great management team in there. And like I said, young boy Ryan Hardy on loan for Rangers. What a superb player he is, by the way. He's got to be some player.
What do we think, Derek? Because this is nothing new. But Ryan Hardy has not burst onto the scene this season. You know, he's been there for quite a while. He's played for Rangers. He's scored goals for Rangers. He's gone on loan to St Mirren. He's been on loan to Raith Rovers. He's now on loan at Livingston. He's had a few. I'm going to try and put you on the spot. Does he have a future at Rangers?
At this moment in time, I would say no, because if they wanted him, if his contract's up at the end of the season, they would have offered him a contract by now. They maybe wouldn't have allowed him, you know, to go to the end of the season without it. I'd sign him, because I think there's definitely something there. He's maybe not somebody just now that you can throw into the first team, because Rangers have probably got better strikers at this moment in time. But he's what, 20, 21 years of age. He's got plenty of go in him. I would certainly give him another 2-year contract. Somebody's going to snap him up if Rangers do, that's for sure.
What is it like about him, Willie?
It was total movement today. See his movement, he was constantly pressuring defenders, running them all over the place. His touch was absolutely superb. His second goal took my breath away, absolutely brilliant. Like, first goal was a bit of a mess up between the goalkeeper and defender, but he almost got an easier goal in his life in that one. But the second one, like I said, he was pulling defenders all over the place today, and then he had a shot in the second half and it just clipped the barman over. He was like a total menace, that's all you could say, total menace.
He's a nuisance striker. I mean, as we said, he's got plenty of energy in him. He's, I mean, he's 6 feet, maybe just 6 feet, maybe 6'1". He's not got the greatest build in the world. You know, he's slim, but he's quick. Mm-hmm. And he can run all day. And for me, he's somebody that's worth keeping.
I suppose what is worth bearing in mind, Murdo, is that players develop at different levels. I'm going off the top of my head here. Or Callum McGregor, for instance, was in the Celtic system for a while, was in loan at Notts County. Took him a while, and then all of a sudden burst into the first team. When you look at Ryan Hardy, I mean, he made his Rangers competitive debut 3.5 years ago, you know. So he's been there, but that doesn't mean to say that it's all over for him. It just depends.
It's been
a slow burner.
A slow progress for him, you know, coming through as a 17-year-old.
Different managers, though, Murdo.
Different managers, Derek, and you know, you're trying to take in everything the manager tells you, what to do on the pitch. You try that, and it's not working as well. I think once he gets into the stage, and this season could be his season, if he scores goals every week for Livingston and he causes problems, Rangers will want him back. If not, someone else will stand and go get him. Because you know, Derek, every club looks for a striker that can score goals.
Absolutely.
And if he's scoring goals, he'll do that.
He's done well for Scotland as well. He scores goals. I mean, I just don't understand why he hasn't been offered a contract. Maybe he has, I don't know. Maybe we're saying things that we don't really. Maybe he has been offered something, but he's in the last year of his contract. You know, he can talk to teams now because he's allowed to do that.
I mean, he's better being out away from Rangers just now
if he's not
going to be in the squad.
He's on the shelf there,
So the thing with the Rangers squad being much stronger just now, and he wouldn't be in there, then he'd be playing.
He's as well out,
playing for the 20s and all that kind of thing. So what he's got to do well at Livingston, score goals, and then he could end up with a decent contract.
Willie, well, we've got you on then, and if you take your Livingston hat off for a minute and put your Rangers one back on, what are you thinking about tomorrow's game?
Watching them the last wee while as well, they're starting to turn out to be a more secure unit. Playing as a team, you've got guys in there who wear the badge on the heart. They've got to get stronger and stronger. And I think, quite put it out there, I think they're going to push Celtic the rest of the second half of the season.
What do you mean by push? Like, can catch them?
I don't think they'll catch them this season, but I don't think Celtic will beat them this season.
Right, okay.
I can see Rangers going to win the Scottish Cup.
So two games left to go in the league, certainly, Hugh. Willie's confident.
This Willie mentions the Scottish Cup. That is the realistic target for Rangers. The league's out of the question for Rangers. They are a club in search of a success story after, 9 years since Rangers last won the Scottish Cup. So that would be a great achievement for them. But at the same time, and I do take on board what Willie's saying about Rangers improving all the time, at the same time, you watch that Celtic performance on Thursday, and they have Rogic, Patrick Roberts, Lee Griffiths, Stuart Armstrong, all to come back very, very soon.
Okay, thanks to Willie, who's a Rangers fan, but he's in Livingston. He went along to the Livingston game today as well, was impressed by Ryan Hardy. Still plenty of time for you to let us know what's on your mind tonight. It's 0141 951 1025. Going to try and hear from some other managers in the coming minutes. Let's see if we've got any more in at the moment. It doesn't look like we do. I'm surprised.
Neil Lennon's the main one for me. See what Neil Lennon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, I'm looking at some of the tweets coming in actually, Hugh.
Alan Archibald.
I'm keen to hear from Alan Archibald. There's tweets coming in. John Strelecki saying that have we got a goal down the road, Derek, you want to tell us about?
We have. Manchester United have just scored Lukaku on that. What was it? How long's gone?
3 minutes.
3 minutes gone. And I mean, everybody felt this is a right banana skin for Man United. Well, they've taken that banana skin away after a couple of minutes, just worked it down. He's playing up there on his own, Lukaku, but when he's on his form, very, very hard to beat. I thought defensively Huddersfield were too square. He's got through and cut inside his man and stuck the ball in the net. Great goal as far as he's concerned, but for Huddersfield, you'll be gutted you've lost a bit. Great start for United.
You were going to say, Gordon.
I'm hoping to hear from Neil Lennon and Alan Archibald and Derek McInnes and others before the end of the programme. Some tweets here. John Strelecki says, as a Rangers season ticket holder, got to say, Neil Lennon working wonders at Hibs. They play good attacking stuff. He's a very good manager. Regan Stevenson, similar. Great game. Neil Lennon's got Hibs playing really well. Allen, McGinn, Boyle, impressive. Surely should be given a chance in the Scotland friendly games coming up. Yet again though, Aberdeen performances in the big games. So Neil Lennon, understandably so, coming in for a lot of praise tonight, and we will hear from him soon, I hope.
Yeah, as I say, I think he's getting becoming a better and better manager. When he came in at Celtic, it was under emergency circumstances. He did a magnificent job. He won league titles. He had the never-to-be-forgotten night against Barcelona in the Champions League. He took Celtic into the last 16 of the Champions League, the last Celtic manager to do so. Now, to go back to the Alec McLeish situation for a second, Neil Lennon thought his time at Celtic had come to an end, and so he did not renew his contract and he went away. If at some point in the future Celtic were looking for a manager and someone said Neil Lennon, do you think there would be a single man, woman or child who supports Celtic who would say, we're not having him back, he went away?
He walked away. Good question. Right, Partick Thistle fans, don't be shy. 0141 951 1025. You are 3 points above bottom place Ross County. You're only 1 point above Hamilton in the playoff place, and they've got 3 games in hand. How are you feeling at the moment? Well, let's hear how your manager feels. Here's Alan Archibald.
I thought we merited a victory up to the 84th minute. We controlled the first half, and I thought we deserved to go in with a 1-0 lead with a lot of good play. We should see the game out. There's no doubt about that.
Disappointing thing, you've been further ahead
at half time. Yeah, we had some good opportunities. We had a lot of good patterns of play, but it's about the result at the end of the day. I think we had a good chance at 2-0. I'd say a good chance. He had a great save at 2-0, 1-0. Sorry, if it goes to 2. It's probably game over. I thought we dealt with with the pressure they had. They're always going to have a spell. They did do. We felt there was a foul in the build up to the play. Abdul thinks it's a foul. He gets robbed, and they score off it.
Can you sense that the boys were kind of maybe dropping back a wee bit?
I thought our game management could have been better. I thought it was on. Dundee were having a go. They're leaving themselves man for man, and it was on to get the ball forward a bit earlier and allow us to squeeze up in the game. We felt comfortable enough. As I said, it was just a turnover of possession. If Abs clears it, it doesn't happen. He thinks it's a foul, and the second one's just a set play. There's two guys picking up, two of them lost their man, and they score off the back of it.
Can you
does it make the next two even more important than the next two games?
Yeah, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, they're massive games now. If they weren't before, it's disappointing. It was a home game today, and we put so much into the game, and we come away with nothing.
Salmon scored again. That must be, you know, one of the only shreds of.
Yeah, look, the positivity is they were creating chances, and I think Connors looks a real handful now. He looks a threat all the time, and we probably should have scored another goal, but we didn't. We'll go to lick our wounds and go and be ready for next week.
Murdo summed up perfectly in the very first sentence from Alan Archibald, where he said, "We merited the victory until the 84th minute." You can see where the problem lies there.
Yeah, obviously, you're looking at the game, it goes on for 90 minutes, and Archie knows that. That's been. Even last season, there was wee spells at losing goals and late in matches, and you're thinking, when are they going to start at the back, just stopping goals going in late in the game? Because Dundee would be hanging on there and trying to push an extra man forward. He was saying that they're going for one at the back with the Thistle strikers. Thistle should just be an extra man at the back, knocking the ball long and giving Dundee the problem. So obviously, it's went the other way. Thistle's been in their box, giving away two goals in the last 5 minutes and losing all three points.
That's all they've got to do. Just learn how to defend at times when you're winning.
It's game management, isn't it? That's
stupid.
What they say.
Yeah. Rather than people running from midfield and fullbacks on, just stay. Deny any space. We're 1-0 up. Let's keep it. Yeah, and they can't do that.
We spoke about Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock going away from home again today. See, if you're the opposition manager before the game today, you'd be talking to your players about how good Kilmarnock's been. Let's be the first team to stop this run. Let's show everybody that we're better than Kilmarnock. But Kilmarnock turned up at third part today, got a goal, and they didn't lose another goal. End of story.
And Hugh, what about this for a fixture list then for Partick Thistle now? So the next two games, Hamilton away and Ross County away. So your two nearest rivals, okay? Mm. And then after that, before the split, Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs, Kilmarnock.
Yeah, but we'll take the first two. Because those are the teams who are right on Partick Thistle's shoulder, and they're both away from home. Partick Thistle, I think, would have to get 4 points from six to feel good about life.
I'm going to try and squeeze Neil Lennon and Derek McInnes in next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but don't think that's us away for the weekend, because tomorrow 2 until 6 p.m. we are here, and we want you to join us. Of course, Celtic against St Johnstone, Hamilton against Rangers, some cracking ties. Come and join us. In the meantime, I'm happy to take popular opinion. Derek McInnes and Neil Lennon, who would you like to hear from first?
I think the winner should be given.
You think that's fair? Yes. The home manager as well. Okay, yes. I bow to your suggestion. Here is Neil Lennon after that 2-0 win at home to Aberdeen this afternoon.
I'm delighted. It's no question the performance of the season. I thought Ibrox was good, but you have to put into context the opposition that we're playing and the form that they've been in. They're an excellent side, but I thought we were outstanding, and you know, we thoroughly deserved the win. I didn't see it coming. You know, I thought we were decent at half time. You know, I thought we played pretty well first half, but Aberdeen are a tough nut to crack, and obviously the first goal is really important against them, and thankfully we got that. And I thought after that we were excellent. You know, we played some superb football today and thoroughly deserved the win.
What did you change in the second half? Because it was almost total domination, wasn't it?
Just nothing really. I mean, we just wanted to try and get Scotty and play the ball forward a little bit quicker, just try and get him in between the midfield and defence. And him, McGinn, McGeoch, outstanding triangle there of footballers, and the quality of the football they played was great. And we wanted to get in behind them a little bit more, because I felt first half we were just playing in front of them a little bit, and McLaren's movement was very, very good. Ken Berry's made us better. You know, we needed a physical presence, and he's certainly given us that. So yeah, I'm absolutely delighted.
How good can Scott Allen be, Neil, having worked for him now? It's been asked before in his career,
Well, I thought, you know, he may have been a little boy band player, you know what I'm talking about, but actually his attitude in training has been fantastic, and he wants it, and that's all I want from him. He takes responsibility with the ball, and at the minute he's taking responsibility off the ball as well.
I like that. I thought Scott Allen might have been a boy band player. We know what he means.
But do you know what, he's 100% correct. When he was at Hibs, that was the reason he got a move, because he was a good player. bits and bobs at Celtic, then went down south two or three clubs, did absolutely nothing, you have to say. Came back up a wee bit with Dundee United, not a lot, nothing. You know, and all of a sudden Hibs have grabbed him again, and he's that player that he was 5-6 years ago now. You know, he's playing at a club where he wants to be, and he's getting the manager's getting the best out of him.
I think he's at the level just now though, Derek. He knows this could be his last chance because he's been everywhere. He's made himself a couple of bob, but he's not been playing football at the highest ability. The way he plays now, the way Hibs have got him playing, and the way Neil Lennon's gotten him playing, that's the way they want him.
But what a day for Neil Lennon and Hibs.
This is a real high watermark for Hibs.
Oh, you heard him say it, performance of the season.
Yep, and he said after Ibrox that it was better than Barcelona, so I don't know where this one rates. So, high watermark in the sense that they are now just 2 points off Rangers in the league table. I do understand Rangers are playing tomorrow. Over 19,000 people at the game, officially a sellout today. And footballers throughout his team, whether it's Scott Allen, John McGinn, Dylan McGeoch, he has footballers all the way through the team, and the Hibs fans are loving it. The league table shows it's successful, and for Neil Lennon, this is a man coming into his managerial prime.
Well, for every winning manager, there is, of course, a losing manager. Let's check in with Derek McInnes.
We matched up, really, and there was a bit of cancelling out. I thought we had good spells in that first half an hour, good passages of play. But there was no a lot happened. Kenny's unlucky with strike. Good save from the goalkeeper. And I thought it was just a case of kind of nullifying their threat and trying to impose ourselves on the game, which was... It's difficult because the Hibs are a good team, they've got good players. But we said at half time, I thought territorially towards the end of the first half, although they never really worked for keeper, I thought we were getting too deep, and there were signs there that we had to obviously take more responsibility to get on the ball, more responsibility to press the ball, more responsibility to try and squeeze the game and deny them space to work. So we spoke about that at half time, and we had an opportunity obviously to make the change with Stevie come on, and an opportunity to get it in behind it just prior to losing the goal. And we fail to do that, then break on us and get the first goal, which is gives them that lift. But I think, you know, I can sit here and say all I want, but there's no doubt it was 2-0, but they murdered us second half, absolutely murdered us. They were the better team hands down. Neil will probably say that that was their best performance of the season, or is up there with it. And as the opposition manager, you know, it's not always about my team playing poorly, but they were miles better than us the second half. I thought they were better players, had a big influence in the game, and we didn't react the way I would have expected, certainly when the second goal goes in. And when you expect us to come and have a wee go, plenty of effort for the players, but it wasn't enough responsibility, and I thought we were second best in that whole second half.
What a day for honesty. You've got Jack Ross coming in and saying Livy were the better team, that's why they won 4-1. You've got Derek McInnes saying they murdered us. And, you know, he's been absolutely honest to a fault. These guys are bringing the game into disrepute. You're supposed to come in and tell us black's white.
Yeah. But the big thing that they build up to the game, both of them were, Neil was saying that Aberdeen have been the strongest side they've played against. And he said today after the game, I didn't expect it, but we'll take it. And then Derek McInnes, he was saying how well Hibs have played. So obviously both of them, great respect for each other.
Lee is in Cowdenbeath on the line. Hi, Lee.
Hey, boys. How are we?
Yes, good. Lee, what's your point tonight?
I was just... The whole backlash for Alex McLeish getting the Scotland job, I've found it quite comical. I think there was a lot of rumours about Stevie Clark getting the job. I thought, you know, he's done wonders at Kilmarnock, but what has he done prior to Kilmarnock that really stood out? And then you look at McLeish, and for me, he's probably one of the best managers Scotland have got kicking around. What he done at Rangers was great. He obviously started off well at Birmingham. And, you know, the point is, could we really be turning down a manager of McLeish's stature looking at the trophies that he's won?
Well, he certainly wasn't first choice, Hugh, so I'm not sure how that ties in with Lee's final point, but what about more generally?
Listen, I'm glad that Lee's an Alex McLeish supporter. Alex taking a bit of a pounding since the appointment was announced. The only thing I would say to counter what Lee is saying is that all of what Alex achieved was some time ago. And there have been many indifferent years in management. You know, Birmingham were relegated in the end. Villa didn't work out. Nottingham Forest didn't work out. Belgium didn't work out. Egypt didn't work out. And he last managed the national team 11 years ago. So I repeat, I hope he wins every game he plays. But just to counter what Lee is saying, Alex's successes were some time ago.
What would you say to that, Lee?
See, the point is, you know, people seemed more excited about Walter Smith coming back. You know, a lot of people thought it was a step backwards, but people genuinely seemed a bit more excited when his name was getting banded around. And, you know, he was before Alex McLeish. So I find it funny that, to me, they're... I'd say as a Rangers fan, Walter is obviously a better manager, but surely they're both kind of up there in a way of what they've won, you know, the history of the game that they've had, that kind of thing. So I just found it really weird. A lot of people would have accepted Walter, although they would have admitted it was a step backwards.
But a lot of people, Lee, would have pointed out that Walter hadn't worked at the sharp end for 7 years. The thing is that the problem here is that we were sold as a country the idea of the dawn of a new era under Michael O'Neill.
Yeah.
And then when Michael O'Neill said no, it was a case of, well, never mind the dawn of a new era. Let's just go and get someone who's familiar with the territory.
Listen, that might be the dawn of a new era. If he goes out there and wins all the games and gets us to qualify, I mean, that's the problem with this country. And I think we'd all agree with, we're so negative at times. There's nobody sees the positive side. I mean, I don't have a problem with Alec being the manager. Results will tell me whether he's got the job or not.
To be fair, Lee is on seeing the positives. It's just that not everyone does, and we can't have that.
Yeah, everybody's got their opinion. I've not a problem with that at all. If you don't like Alan McLeish as the manager for Scotland, and you don't like him, fine. We're giving our opinion as well. I'm okay with it. I think he's had the experience of the job before, and only time will tell whether he's going to do a job or not.
Derek, the most important thing now for every Scotsman is to support the manager.
Absolutely.
You can have your grumps now. You can go on a bit. He's no good enough. He's whatever you want to say about Alec, fine. But once we start getting the results,
absolutely,
we've got to get behind the manager. Never mind moaning away, it should have been someone else. Get on with the job. And if Alec does a good job, the players, I think we've got better quality players now than we did two or three years ago.
And listen, if he doesn't get results, then you'll get stick like any other manager. If he doesn't qualify, he won't be in a job. It's as simple as that.
Thank you to Lee in Cowdenbeath for his thoughts. Hugh Keevan, sum up the day's footballing action for us, and plenty more to come tomorrow as well.
At the top, Neil Lennon does it again in front of a sold out Easter Road. He beats Aberdeen, moves to within 2 points of Rangers. Great football tomorrow. Hamilton versus Rangers, Celtic versus St Johnston. St Johnston, though, slip into an even more dangerous area because Dundee beat Partick Thistle with 2 goals in the last 6 minutes. They go above St Johnston. They continue a miserable time for Tommy Wright. Can they snap out of it at Celtic Park? And, of course, Partick Thistle had it in their hands, let it slip, and are now in serious trouble. They have 2 matches to play against Hamilton and Ross County, the teams who are down there in the dumps with them. They must take points from those matches, or it's looking grim.
Some great footballing action this afternoon. Big thank you to Hugh Keevans, Murdo McLeod and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, in the studio. Thanks as always to our top team all around the grounds, bringing us all the reaction and reaction. And of course, the biggest thanks of the afternoon goes to you. Thanks for listening at home, thanks for tweeting, thanks for getting involved on the phone lines. And you get the chance to do it all over again tomorrow. We are here 2 until 6pm covering all things Hamilton against Rangers and Celtic against St Johnstone, and you can join us. GBX up next.
Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.